Welcome to the Turning Point Church podcast. We pray that this message takes root in your heart and bears fruit in your life. For additional messages and other resources, you can visit us at www.tpoint.church.
Hallelujah. How many of y'all are ready this morning to hear something from the Lord? Are you ready? Are you hungry for it? The word says that man does not live by bread alone. It's not just the substance that this world has to offer. There's no way to really live on that. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. These words are spirit and they are life. They have power to them. They have the ability to transform, to change. They have the ability to put us in a different mindset, to see from a different perspective. I'm going to ask you to go with me today. Can we go together? Can we go together? It's so much more fun when we go together. Speaking of which, we had an incredible time on Wednesday night breaking in our fellowship hall with our first come together, and we came together and we ate. And we ate good, didn't we, y'all? It was awesome. And I will tell you what, that fellowship hall was packed. We put out, I forget how many chairs we put out, like 90 chairs, something like that. And every chair was full on Wednesday night. We had some good grub. It was amazing. But how many of y'all love just coming together and having the fellowship? Wasn't there a spirit of fellowship in the room? I love it when God is just, is so evident. That we had several new people that came on Wednesday night, which, praise the Lord. That is something that we are wanting to see, and we're asking the Lord to help us. Everything that we do has an invitation attached to it. I said it earlier, there's always room for one more. Always, always, always. And everything we do has an invitation. And we saw some that were able to make it on Wednesday night. And several of them saying, man, there's just joy here. There's just an atmosphere. It's exciting. And y'all, you can't make that happen. You can't make that happen. That's not something that you can manufacture. It is something that we are blessed to have by the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to encourage you in this to join us on these Wednesday nights as we come together for specific purposes. This Wednesday, last Wednesday, was eat. We started with eating. And here's the interesting thing. I talked about it last week and how that God ordained for there to be seven feasts throughout the year. Seven Thanksgivings throughout the year, if you want to think of it that way. Where they would come together, and it wasn't just about eating food, and eating food is good, like the food, but it was something to remind them of what God had done. And so we talked last week about how one of the feasts that they commemorated was the Feast of Tabernacles, and what they would do is that God instructed them to set up smaller versions of the tabernacle that was in the wilderness. It's also called the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, and they would remember God. They would honor God for being the God in the wilderness, and they would remember Him. And the interesting thing, I had Miss Chelsea come up to me after service. She's on our prayer and all team, her and her husband. And she came up to me after service. She's like, I've been studying the feast, Pastor Nathan. And did you know that this week is Feast of Tabernacles on the calendar, on the Jewish calendar? I said, no, I didn't even know that. And so God is so good. We got to pay attention to signs and wonders. You see, God is giving signs all of the time. That was one of those signs that we're hearing from the Spirit of God. And so not even knowing that, not being in our natural mind, that on Wednesday when we came together to feast and to fellowship and to thank God for being the God of the wilderness, that we were in alignment with that calendar and being in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles. Like, you can't plan it that well. God is good. We just thought we had a good idea in staff meeting. No, this is the Holy Spirit working, y'all. And this is what God has for us. We're putting together this Wednesday. I'm going to ask you to participate in this as well. And I'm going to encourage you, church, if Wednesday isn't your custom to coming, let's change our customs and come together and enjoy what God is doing. This Wednesday is a serve Wednesday, so we're eat, serve, and then play. The following week, we're going to have some games. We're just going to have another time of fellowship. And so we're going to come together this week to serve. Miss Tasha and the others, they'll be out in the foyer. We're going to ask you to sign up if you can, because we need to know how to divide people and assign people. So Wednesday, when everybody gets here, you'll have a job to do. We'll serve. What we're doing for this time, there are still projects that we're trying to get done around the church. How many of you know when you move into a place, sometimes it takes a little while to unpack. Takes a little time to move things around. Well, we've got a few rooms that are still like floor to ceiling stuff. And so we've got things that we need to do and to get it out. And there's something very interesting that happens when we serve and when we serve together. God brings us together in another form of unity. Just like he does when we're across the table and we have fellowship, we've got a meal together. We can connect with someone that we couldn't when we normally just say hi and bye on a Sunday morning. We connect. It's the same thing when we serve together. When you work together for a common purpose, it works to strengthen us. And so this is what we do. And so Wednesday is going to be an awesome time of serving together. Let's be faithful to the house of God. I'm telling you, there is a spiritual work that is happening. I always encourage anyone, if you're having some difficult times, if you're having some hard times, it is so good to serve during those times. Because what it does is it takes our eyes off of our own situation and puts that on someone else. And that is a healthy thing, church. It is a healthy thing. So come, let's be together and not just eat the meals, let's serve together. Amen? Amen. That was a good amen. I didn't even have to ask for a second amen on that one. Yes! Today's going to be awesome. God is so good. All right, get your Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's go together. We do this stand up, sit down, stand up, but stand up one more time. I'm going to ask you to turn there if you can, if you've got a Bible. If not, get. If you don't even have the Bible app on your phone or your tablet, did you know you can Google Deuteronomy chapter 30 and you can follow the link? It'll get you right there. What an amazing world we live in. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we're going to start with verse 15. This is the Lord speaking. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. Read that verse again. That you may keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, and that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land that you are entering to possess it. We're going to pray something here, but I'm going to ask you to hold on to your word, your phone, whatever it is, and I'm going to ask you to look at it, okay? So that means you'll keep your eyes open while we pray here, okay? I want you to keep your eyes focused on it, and I want you to repeat this after me, if you will. Say, my Father, thank you for speaking to me. By knowing these words, I know you. For the rest of my life, I will never look at this book the same. This will be my companion. I will not let it leave my sight, my thoughts, or my mouth, day or night. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We ask you, Lord, that it would quicken our spirit. Lord God, that it would bring life to our mortal bodies. God, we pray that today, by your word, we are changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Bless the Lord. I felt a leading of the Holy Spirit for us to pray that together this morning. Because God has something that he constantly wants to speak to us. By knowing these words, we know him, and I'll prove it to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father. It was the Word, and he became the Word. So as I know this, and this becomes a part of my spirit, then I know him. That's how important it is to know him. I want to continue on a message that we started last week, if you'll give me a few moments this morning, and that is, we are here. Hallelujah to God. Now what? We are here. Now what? Now what are we going to do? God has a plan for us. In this verse, we pulled out three things. That we would keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. Why? To keep his word. Why? For these reasons, that we may live, multiply, and possess. That we may live and multiply. That the Lord your God may bless you in the land that you are entering to possess it. And so we started with live last week. And I just want to remind you real fast some of the things that the Lord was leading us in. And that is that our church moving forward, this body moving forward, would be those who seek more than just sermons and songs, but life. Need more than just good services. I thank God for good services. I've been in some powerful, mighty services in my life, and they have served to transform me. But God didn't do that just so that we could say, wasn't that a great service? Man, praise team was kicking today. If that's all we've got when we exit out the door, then we're missing something. We're missing something. I want life. He came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what he's come to do. We got to feel the presence of the Lord more than just in this context or just hearing a word from God from a minister or a preacher or a pastor. As much as I appreciate all of that, God has something specific that he wants to speak to all of us. To walk with him and talk with him. So we must learn to live the life. We must learn to do it. We can't afford to do things as we've always done. And let me say this here as well. This is not just because this is a new place. This is not a new vision. His ways are the same. He himself is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What we feel now is a greater responsibility because of the great things he has done, and that's a good thing. But we can't afford. We've not been this way before. How many of y'all know that? Haven't passed this way before. So we didn't come here to catch our breath. We didn't come to take a break. We've come here to live, multiply, and possess. To be consumed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. To reach this community with the love of Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. To be in a perpetual state of giving and receiving, abounding unto every good work. It's a time of action, church. Y'all hear me? It's a time of action. It's a time of intentionality. It's a time of boldness. It's a time of courage. What did he tell Joshua? Be strong and courageous. We are here. Now what? Multiply. Everybody say multiply. Multiply. Okay? Addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. We're just going to focus on multiply. Acts 9:31 says this, the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up, and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. This is another wonderful things that were happening. And it continued to increase, meaning it continued to multiply. What's interesting about this word is that this is the first commandment that was ever given to mankind. The first commandment ever given to Adam and Eve in the garden was therefore, be fruitful and multiply. Subdue the earth and fill it. To be fruitful and multiply. And the Lord, as he is intentional with all of his words, he doesn't just haphazardly just run his mouth. Aren't you thankful for that? So what he did is that he put together fruitfulness and multiplication. And isn't that interesting? Because how many of y'all know when you plant a seed, how many of you planted a garden or some plants earlier this year? Did anybody do that? When you plant the one seed, isn't it multiplied when the fruit comes forward? Isn't it multiplied? There are many fruit that come onto the plant, and there are many seeds within the fruit, so that there is sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping and sowing and harvest and so on and so on and so on. To multiply, it means to make manifold, to increase in number or quantity, to make more by accumulation, by addition, to increase in number and especially greatly. I like that part. To increase in number and especially greatly, to grow in number and quantity and to increase. He didn't bring us here to stay the same, but to add to his sons and daughters on the earth. It's a time for going after the harvest and not just waiting for the harvest to show up. Amen. Listen to this. The harvest has never been the issue because there's never been a lack of harvest. Holy Spirit, help this thing this morning. Matthew 9, 36 and 37. This is Jesus. He said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers into this harvest. To send out laborers into the harvest. So there's never, ever been a lack of harvest. It's always been the workers. We'll get some amens this morning. Trust me, I'm working toward it. John 4, 35 through 38. I'm giving you plenty of Bible on this thing this morning. This is out of the Passion Translation. It says, verse 35, as the crowds emerged from the village, Jesus said to his disciples, why would you say that the harvest is another 4 months away? Look at all of the people. Now is harvest time. For their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain, ready for a spiritual harvest. And everyone who reaps these souls for eternal life will receive a reward. And those who plant spiritual seeds and those who reap the harvest will celebrate together with great joy. And this confirms the saying, one sows the seed and another reaps the harvest. I have sent you out to harvest a field that you haven't planted, where many others have labored long and hard before you. And now you are privileged to profit from their labors and reap the harvest. He's saying it's not somewhere afar off. It's not in the distance. The harvest is before us, church. And here's what I know in my heart, that this is a message that we need. It's a message that we need, that we desperately need. The Lord is activating and mobilizing his people for a mighty harvest. And we, church, are a part of that. We are a part of that. We're a part of that. When our focus shifts to the harvest, we begin to adopt the heart of the Father. When our focus shifts to the harvest, we begin to adopt the heart of the Father. He came to save and to seek that which was lost. That's what the word says. It is for this reason that the Son of God made himself manifest to destroy the works of the devil and to give his life a ransom for many. He saw every man, woman, boy, and girl on earth at the time and for the ages to come. He saw them valuable enough to give his life once and for all. For every single person that he would ever breathe life into. So when our focus shifts to the harvest, we adopt the heart of the Father. When our focus shifts to the harvest, we find fulfillment in eternal matters, in eternal things. In eternal things. And this is what I have found we have done. And sometimes we just got to tighten this ship. Can we just tighten the ship this morning? Can we just make some adjustments? Can we just do this? I have to remind myself from time to time. Anybody else got to remind themselves of what God has purposed in his heart and really what we're here for? Don't we have to remind ourselves? Don't we get kind of off from time to time? And let me tell you something. It's very interesting being a pastor and being a preacher, but this is something that I know. The message always comes to us first before it comes through us. So this isn't just something that I'm telling you that you need to adjust. This is something that God is speaking to all of us. Like, we need to adjust this thing. There are things in this house, just like there are things in your life, that come easier for you than others. There's some things that just almost become natural. There are some things, oh my goodness, there's some people in this room, you can't stop praising God. You just get a song going. I'm telling you what, I'm one of those people. Man, when I come into the church, when I wake up in the morning, my wife can tell you, the boys can tell you, like, I've always got some kind of song, I've always got some kind of praise. For some people, it is, man, they are the word, they're just in the word. For some it's prayer, for some it's praise, for some it's all these other things. We have these things that we're passionate about. But there are other areas that God has called us to that we are also meant to be stewards of. I thank God for the strengths that each of us have. We serve to sharpen each other because of our strengths. But this is something that we need work on. When our focus begins to shift to the harvest, we begin to look at eternal things to be in the work of the Lord. When our focus shifts to the harvest, our true purpose begins to be ignited. Our true purpose begins to be ignited. I want to encourage you in this again, because last week I believe this was a word from the Lord for us, but God did not create you to work a job, make a little money, maybe put some aside for retirement, and then pass on to the next life. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. The moment that we start buying into that's all that there is, man, doesn't that just sound miserable? It sounds miserable. You don't even have to be a believer for that one. Man, that just sounds miserable. God is clear on what the eternal rewards will be for us. What the eternal things that really matter that will carry on into the next life. Your 401k will not make it. I don't care how well your company matches. It won't make it. And I'll tell you this, how quickly things can change. Because I remember a prophet speaking to Israel who was in complete famine because their enemies had closed off all of the resources and you couldn't buy bird poop for $1 million. That's paraphrasing. I don't have time to go into all of that. And then he said, this time tomorrow, you'll be able to buy a donkey's head for 5 cents, a shekel. In one day, the entire resources of a nation changed. Not to scare you, but just to put it into reality, everything that you've got in the bank could be gone tomorrow. Some of y'all, it's already gone. No, I'm just kidding. I'm looking at the account. Oh my goodness, where'd it go? Too much Andy's. Oh my, some of the problems we have. when our focus shifts to the harvest, our true purpose is ignited. When our focus shifts to the harvest, we become fathers and mothers, spiritual fathers and mothers who bring forth spiritual sons and daughters. When our focus shifts to the harvest, we take our eyes off of us and we set our sights on someone else. It's a very freeing thing that happens. That means that this church is meant to grow and multiply. Which means the empty seats that you see this morning are meant to be filled and beyond. And sometimes growth is scary for those of us who really don't want to change. Can I say that again? Growth is scary for us when we don't want to change. When things begin to grow and shift around us, you are going to be tempted by the things of the enemy that is going to say, that pastor's changed. That team, they changed. They got into that place. Now all they're concerned is about this, this, that, and the other. And the thing is that the enemy will want to play that. We've already talked about this wonderful problem to have. But there's some, you look around, you can't see everybody in a Sunday morning service anymore. At the old place, you could look to the left and to the right, see who was there, see who wasn't there. You can't do that anymore. I don't know how to take that. Praise God. Praise God, I don't want to see everybody anyway. Some of you all are happy for the situation. I get it. But as God continues to increase, the only way for us to truly see it correctly is to have a harvest mindset. This house can't afford to just try to maintain the family. That family's got to grow. I said that family's got to grow. The family's got to grow. The family's got to grow. We got to add, got to increase, got to multiply. Why? Because if we truly believe that this is where we started in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I set before you life and death. If this really is a life and death matter, then it should be upon our heart to go after the harvest. To go after the harvest. Let's not be afraid of the change that comes with the harvest. That's what I love about the 120 that were in the upper room, because when they came out of the upper room and the Holy Spirit had blessed them and anointed them and all these wonderful things began to happen, that the city came to the doorstep and 3,000 were added that one day. Can't you imagine the changes that happened all of a sudden? But if I recall the book of Acts, I don't remember one of those 120 saying, man, there's no room for me now because all these other people came. I don't remember one person complaining about what God did in one day. That must be our heart. It must be our heart. How many of you ever heard of Penn and Teller? No? Nobody? Famous magicians? I think they've got like a regular show in Vegas or something like that. They got shows on TV. They do all this stuff. They're phenomenal magicians. They're hilarious. But Penn Jillette, who's the bigger guy, who tells all of the jokes and then Teller, he stays quiet and in fact he doesn't say anything at all. And so all the jokes then come through him. But Penn Jillette, a few years ago, I want to read something to you. He recorded a video about someone who came to talk to him after one of his magic shows. And he said the guy was about his age, and he had participated in one of the acts as an audience member. And so the man complimented Penn Jillette and on the show, and then he said, "I brought this for you." And the man held up a small book, and it was a New Testament with the Psalms, something that could fit in a person's pocket. Now, what you need to know about Penn Jillette is that he is a renowned atheist. And the man said, "I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this." The man explained that he was a businessman and that he was not crazy. And Jillette was moved by the man's gesture that he said. He said he was kind, he was nice, and sane. He looked me in the eye, and he talked to me, and then he gave me this Bible, and he showed the Bible. He said, "I've always said," Jillette explained, "that I don't respect people who don't evangelize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe there is a heaven and a hell, and that people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, you think it's not really worth telling them because this would make it socially awkward for you. How much do you have to hate somebody to not tell them? How much do you have to hate someone to believe that everlasting life is available and not tell them?" He said, "That's something I can't understand." That hits, doesn't it? It hits. We have an answer. If we truly believe that we have an answer, then that's something that we've got to stir within us. If we've let it go dormant, if we've let it go cold, if we've let it go stale and still, then that's something that we need to stir, because it's not just about feeling comfortable and us being satisfied for the fact that we're going to step on those shores one day. It is the fact that there are others who are lost and dying, and they are missing it completely. And if we don't get the word to them, how will they know? How will they know? How will they know? America has really been unlike any other nation on the face of the earth when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to faith. But I will tell you this, it is not the America that it once was, and we can all agree to that in this room. So we cannot take for granted the fact that we were blessed to grow up in a nation where you can hear Jesus. And if you haven't heard the name of Jesus in this nation, that's nearly impossible. Do you realize that there are places all over the world that have never even heard that name, much less know what a Bible is, much less know what the Word of God is, but have never heard those two syllables, Jesus? The only reason that we'll be focused on the harvest is that we allow the love of God to once again be stirred in us. Because out of that love for him comes love for my brother and my sister. It's the only way it happens. There's something else I want to bring to your attention that we need to focus on in this harvest. And that is the next generation. We've learned some disturbing facts about the Japanese culture through my sister and my brother-in-law, Pastor Johnny's son, Jonathan and Melissa Lowrance. They're missionaries to Tokyo doing a phenomenal job. But it's been amazing to hear some of the things that are happening in their culture. And I read this article, and they had told me about this, but I just want to give you a picture of what's happening there, that people in Japan, there's not enough marriage relationships, and they're not having enough children. And so the country is set up for a demographic time bomb. In a real way, Japan is shrinking. In 2015, the country had 1,008,000 births and 1,302,000 deaths. More deaths than births. Extinction of the Japanese people could become a reality. No, Siri, I didn't call you. Stop showing up on my screen. It could become a serious discussion point. One team of economists has even set up a countdown clock to track the seconds until the last baby is born in Japan. They're so far behind the curve at this point. Japan is getting really old really fast. Today, that over 25% of Japan's 127 million people are over 65. By 2055, it's estimated that to be 40%. To work against that, the prime minister has declared that Japan will raise its fertility rate from 1.4 to 1.8 expected children per woman. But simply put, Japan needs more kids if it wants to avoid going extinct. There are several factors that have led to this. There are things in the Japanese culture and in the mindset that we have learned. But the point is this. This may seem impossible to believe that this could actually happen, but I believe this is a natural example of a spiritual parallel. I believe this is the state of the American church. I believe we're already at a crisis point. If we fail to multiply the sons and daughters of God, we could see the extinction of faith in America as we know it. Church, in order to multiply, we must set our attention outward on the generation that is to come. That's why things like our ministry to our children, to our youth, and our young adults is so vital. It would be good for some to come along and serve in these areas because the next generation needs people who are willing to be spiritual moms and dads. Let me tell you this. These are not babysitting services. They're not babysitting services that we do. They're life-giving ministries. And we're here to come alongside you in raising men and women of God. Can I say that again? We're here to come alongside you in raising young men and women of God. The purpose of any children's ministry, youth ministry, young adult ministry is not so that we can fix it for you. I believe what God can do in a moment can transform anything and anyone. I believe what God can do in a moment can make up for years of poor parenting. However, for those of us who are capable, that does not take us off the hook for raising sons and daughters of God. We must do it. We must be intentional about it. And for those who do not have godly fathers or godly mothers and or godly mothers, then this is what we do. We adopt them. I said we adopt them. We adopt them. We adopt them. Romans 8, 14 through 17 says, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious responsibilities to lead you back into fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance. The spirit of adoption is what it's called, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join with him in saying the words of affection, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share in all of his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also will inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his suffering as our own. Glory to God. We have received the spirit of adoption. Every single one of us in this room have been adopted by the Father. Who then are we to resist another? My God. My God. It's time for us to be spiritual fathers and mothers, to pour our resources into reaching people like never before. Psalm 71:18. Even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me. Until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. We have a torch to pass. You may look around, you may find faces that are unfamiliar. We should want to tell people of what God has done and bring them in. I'm going to ask you to never be annoyed by someone sitting in your seat. I love what has happened in the heart in this church. And it was just like when we came through and saw the building for the first time, and all their staff were like, hey, this could be my office, and this could be my office, and we can do this thing here, we can do this thing here, and all of that. And that's a good thing, because we want a place that feels like home. Amen. It's important. But I want to encourage you that the seat that you got is not your home. In fact, I want you to do something else. The seat that you're saving that seems to be your typical place, I'm going to ask you to do this. Come on board with me and save that seat for a friend, a family member that you want to bring into eternity with you. You save that seat. You save that seat. Wherever it is that seems to be the comfortable place, like this is the spot. And I love doing that, because I can typically find where people are at. You know, and if I want to say hi to somebody or something like that, I appreciate that. But my goodness, isn't the harvest worth considering in this? Isn't it time to set our focus on that which is right at our doorstep, the harvest that is before us and that is ready? I'm going to ask you to do this, and I'm going to ask you to do it with all sincerity. This is no game. This is life and death forever, and the stakes could not be any higher. Any higher. We're not here to serve religion. We're here to serve the Lord. It's time for the Holy Spirit to empower us to be witnesses again. To be witnesses. To be witnesses. To do all that he has called us to do. There are people that God has planned to raise up. And I believe we can do this together. How many of y'all believe we can do this together? How many of y'all believe that we can come into alignment with his word in this? Are we in it together? I'm telling you, this is something that we have to set our sights on and that we have to move forward on. Come on and stand with me, please. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. P. Russ, I'm going to ask you just to hold off for a couple of minutes here this morning, because I want to do something. First thing that we're going to do together is we're going to pray. My house shall be a house of prayer, amen? It shall be called a house of prayer. Lord Jesus, come on and grab hands with the person next to you. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know there's some prayer people in the room who will have to help me out here. But Father, in Jesus' name, this is our commitment. This is what's happening right now. Father, this is our commitment to you. Lord, that we will allow your Holy Spirit to empower us to be witnesses. Lord God, to be those who care about the waiter and the waitress at the restaurant, who actually care, who actually care, who actually care, who actually want to be used by you and to see the harvest come in. We're the ones who care about our families, our family members and our friends, those who are lost, those who are completely confused, those who are chasing the things of this world, trying to find fulfillment in the pleasures that this world has to offer, just trying to climb the ladder or trying to get the next hit or just trying to get whatever that they can. Lord God, we pray and we commit together before you this morning as a congregation, Lord God, that we will be the people who set our eyes upon the harvest and not just admire it for its scenery. Hallelujah. Man, I felt something in that. I felt something in that. Keep praying. Keep holding hands. Well, we've been passing through this city, and if you make your way on the outskirts of the city, you'll see all the cotton fields that are ripe right now, and they're full, and they're white as far as you can see. Look out and see that the harvest field is white and ripe for harvest. Look and see. Look and see. Look and see. But it's more than just a good view. We want to see all that come in Jesus' name. It's Jesus' name. It's Jesus' name. It's not just enough to know it's there. It's not just enough to know that it looks good. But Father, we want to see the harvest come in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And then we're going to pray something else. This is something that I believe that we're responsible for in prayer. May we never, Lord, pray something that we're not willing to be a part of. Can we do that? Lord, let us never pray something we're not willing to be a part of. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. How many laborers do we have in here? How many workers do we have in here? Lord, that I am willing. I am willing. I am available. Send me. God, use me.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Turning Point Church. To stay connected, we invite you to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, we'd love for you to join us for a Sunday or midweek service. God bless you and have a wonderful week.